This podcast is brought to you by Purposefully Different Productions and is proudly sponsored by Little Dish, makers of delicious fresh meals for kids that are an absolute lifesaver on busy days. I love these meals because they are different to other kids' meals out there. They include a variety of ingredients, lots of textures, and are made with little taste buds in mind. Before we get started on today's episode, here's a word from our friend Giovanna Fletcher.
At Little Dish, we've spent years perfecting delicious, healthy, fresh meals guaranteed to be eaten by kids. Except when you sprinkle cheese on top instead of letting them do it, or if the Little Dish is served on the red plate or the yellow plate or the blue plate, or when you talk over them, or when they can't wear their Ranger antlers because it's summer and they're in the loft, or on Mondays or on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and potentially even Sundays. Good luck and Godspeed. Little Dish. Healthy food kids love. Find us in the chilled aisle.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of How to Feed with me, Charlotte Sterling Reed, the parenting podcast that brings you reassurance, confidence and practical advice on feeding your baby, toddler and your whole family. Today we have a truly special episode lined up for you. We're diving into the world of weaning but with a twist. We're going to be looking at how family dynamics come into play, especially when it comes to advice, whether it's wanted or not, from grandparents. And who better to explore this with than a mother-daughter duo who know all about navigating parenting and grandparenting with love, laughter, and a lot of honesty. I'm absolutely thrilled to welcome TV legend Lorraine Kelly and her brilliant daughter, Rosie Kelly Smith, who is a podcast host in her own right and a journalist and a new mum to wonderful Billy, who we are beyond excited to have join us on the sofa here today as well. They've been through the weaning journey together and have so much wisdom to share about supporting each other and handling generational differences and finding what works for your family. So without further ado, Lorraine and Rosie, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm genuinely so grateful to have you. Real excited that we've got both of you and little Billy, today. Yay. Oh, thank you. Yeah, how did you find getting in? Was it okay for both of you?
Yeah, it was fine. It's she napped the whole time. Perfect. So she used to hate the car, but now she likes it. Thank God.
Did she sleep well in the pram as well?
Yeah, she used to only sleep in the pram.
Really?
Yes, didn't you? You only slept in the pram. Hello.
We had to go out 3 times a day.
Oh, really?
To get you to go to sleep.
Oh, see, I heard my daughter wouldn't sleep in the pram. She would sleep in the carrier, but she wouldn't actually sleep in the pram.
I had that at the beginning. Did you? I'd have to be in the carrier with her, get the pram up. And then I always thought people would think I was mad because I had her in the carrier and then I was wheeling around this empty pram. But just in case. Then she'd fall asleep and then I'd put her down in it.
Oh, that's perfect. You could do the transition though.
Yeah.
So as we start here, so how are you finding parenthood just in general? How's it going for you? Share any thoughts you've had on it.
I think we're very lucky with how good she is. Like I've never had any issues with her.
That's so nice.
Apart from she didn't do a poo for 13 days.
Ooh, yes, that was
getting right into it. But apart from that, she's a really happy baby.
Into the nitty gritty.
Loves her grub. She's always loved her food. I remember I think it was a 27-week scan. It was one of those 4D ones. I didn't know the doctor was doing it. He just flipped it.
Oh, wow,
it was 4D.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God. And she was sucking on the umbilical cord. She was like, oh, I think she's going to love her food.
Really? Straight away then? That's
and then
so
when
funny.
When she came out, when she was born, she was crying. And the minute the midwife put her like pinky finger in her mouth, she started sucking.
Oh,
so I was
really?
Like, okay.
Yeah.
We just need all the food.
Yeah.
And that's what it's been like since. She's just, breastfeeding, she's just loved it.
Has she?
Bottle loves it.
Yeah.
We had to try a few different bottles.
Yeah. Which is really normal. Yeah.
Yeah, which I didn't know about. Mm. There's lots of things I just didn't
of
know.
Course.
And even you try and learn all these things at like your NCT classes and you know, you're given 100 brochures by hospitals, you just forget or just can't really consume any information unless someone speaks to you. So yeah, I was very lucky. I had a very, very lovely midwife who was the person I
helped
sought her
you,
out.
Yeah.
And you met as well when at one of the appointments.
She was lovely.
I took you to the last appointment with her. I think it was like a week before the birth.
She was great. You could talk to her about anything.
Her name's Laura. Mm. She was fabulous.
Oh, nice. Love that.
Yeah, she was great. So it was good that I had that, but yeah, overwhelming.
And is it different to what you expected? Because everything you're saying now, I'm like, oh my gosh, I so remember. You think that you can prepare yourself for it, but you absolutely can't.
You absolutely can't. I think all the preparation in the world. I remember I had a spreadsheet. And I still have a spreadsheet that I give to people that I know that.
I love that.
And I give it to people that are pregnant now and I'm like, It's good for information, but like you don't know until you're in it.
Yeah.
And everyone says, oh, it's so hard and everything. Mm. It's like, well, it is really hard, but there's also bits that you feel guilty for saying it, but it's not fun.
No, yeah. Yeah, it's so true.
There's bits that aren't fun, and it's relentless, and you have to have the patience of a saint.
Yeah. But it's really important to share those bits, don't you
think?
Yeah,
definitely. And it's like you keep hearing, yeah, it's really hard, it's really tough work, but you don't actually, no one ever says that it's actually quite horrendous.
Yeah. they don't set you up with that.
No, they don't. They don't. But no, we're in, I feel like 6 months and then 8 months. 8 months I was like, oh, okay, this is.
You've got it.
I don't know if we've got it, but I feel like it's, you get a lot more feedback from them. And she's smiling and she's saying some words and she's more of a person, which is adorable.
Yeah.
And it's more.
Because you start to learn more. And I feel like as they get older, like although there's obviously other challenges, but you get more to learn them and their personality. And that is the best part of it all, I think, is knowing them as an actual human themselves. But so, Lorraine, I'm so interested also in your role, you know, around this. How have you, I mean, you're obviously really close and you can tell that you absolutely adore her. How have you found being a grandparent? Was it what you expected? How has it been?
Well, I didn't know what to expect. And everybody kept saying to me, you know, this is the best thing. It is, she is the most beautiful, clever, gorgeous baby that's ever been born in the world. Are you? Yes, you are. No, she is the light of my life. She is an absolute joy. But I have to say, I'm in total awe of Rosie. She's been amazing. Mm. I mean, she's just taken to motherhood so well. And I know it's been hard, you know, and getting a cesarean. I mean, I just had a wee operation. I had to get my ovaries removed. Oh, and that was bad enough.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I don't have a wee tiny baby.
Yeah.
You know, and you're having, I mean, I could hardly blink and walk. And Rose was up, you know, doing everything and just being incredible. She's taken to it so well, far more than I think than I did as well.
You know,
she's
really?
I think so. You've just embraced everything. And even although it was hard, you know, physically and emotionally, it was hard, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was at the start, it was difficult. But I think it's made us a lot closer too, you know, really. And I mean, I am available at all time for babysitting duties. I am
love
there.
It.
Yeah.
In fact, it's quite difficult to get it off me when I, you know, when she comes around, I'm like grabbing the baby.
I love that.
But it's been wonderful, and it is a different sort of love. I mean, obviously, I adore Rosie, but when she was little, it was scary. You know, it is for all of us. I mean, I don't think nobody knows. They don't come with a book of instructions.
No.
But this is different because it's all the love and not as much of the fear. Because I know she's got her mum and dad.
That's what I have.
Yeah. You have the love and the fear.
I know, but because I know she's so, gosh, she couldn't be more loved or looked after by Rosie and by Steve, you know.
And obviously, you know, seeing Rosie become a mother.
Yeah.
Like that must be quite incredible for
it
you.
It is. It's really emotional. I mean, the first time I saw her in the hospital, I cried and I try not to, but it's happy tears, you know, it really is happy tears. But, you know, to see your baby having a baby is unbelievably special. Mm. You know, it's just wonderful. And you sort of look at it and you think, well, what did we do before? Billy, what did we do? Slept, you slept.
Yeah, what did you do?
What did we do before? Billy, we must have done something before you came, but I can't remember what it was.
And you always said, what did we talk about?
Yes.
What did we talk about?
Yeah, that is true, isn't it? It's so different, though. Your relationship changes, doesn't it? You know, the relationship, because with me and my husband, it went from sort of like, you know, normal things talking about to basically talking about poo a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Poo and poo. Sleep and wee and nappies and all of that, which is normal.
It changes your life. Life, doesn't it? It really
completely
does.
Completely. But it's so different now. And you know, you were saying about trying to get information, and there I mean, your book's fantastic, and it's like the Bible, isn't it? In our house, it is like the Bible. It gets consulted all the time, but I've just noticed there's so much more information around now, and it's a lot clearer than it was. We've kind of, it's only like, 31 years ago you were born, but things have changed so much. Knowledge about food, though, that seems to be the main thing, because we used to give you rusks and baby milk. We used to do that. Yeah. And I think we made quite a lot of mistakes. I think we gave you too much. We thought we were doing the right thing, but, you know, things like baby jars back then weren't the same as they are now.
Yeah.
And we didn't have the lovely packets of really good stuff without all the additives in it. So I think things have got better.
Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. I do remember making lots of vegetables for you and putting them in wee ice cubes. I did do that and felt as if I was doing a good job, but then they just sat in the blinking freezer. And you ended up, when you were a wee bitty older, basically getting the same as us, except mashed. You know, and when you think about it, really now, you know, I would have said, like, don't put so much salt in it, like you say, you know, don't put butter in it. But we didn't really know back then.
Yeah, of course.
And even talk to your granny, I mean, because Billy's lucky
she's...
Rusks. We chewed on rusks and bits of toast and kind of got by. And granny would just, whatever, she was making mince and potatoes, she would just mash it up for me. That's how, you know, you didn't really have specific things.
Yeah, well, advice has changed a lot. And actually, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but that was something I really wanted to ask you about. Rosie, I'm definitely going to ask you about weaning, and I really want to get there. But you just tapped into a point that I love, which is advice has changed so much. And I think sometimes what that leads to is parents, or grandparents, let's say, saying, that's not how we did it in my day.
See, I have said to myself, I must never... those words. Those words have not come out of my mouth because things are different and she's my granddaughter, not my daughter. Like my husband keeps saying, she's not your baby. And I say, I know she's not. But at the same time, it's not about that. And I don't feel, you know, I don't feel that I can give you that much advice because you're the one that gives me advice when I'm looking after her. You know, Rosie will say, this is what you do, this is what you do. And all the different devices that you've got that we, you know, we would just heat up a bottle. Now a thing does it.
Yeah,
but it's fantastic. You know, it's really good. But I've always said that I would never say that because of course we did it
differently.
My mother did it differently. I mean, my mum was 18 when I was born. She was living in a wee one bedroom nothing house, tiny wee house, and didn't have much, didn't have anything really. You just kind of muddled through. You know, but I think that the thing that's different, and we're really lucky because we live quite close together, is you don't have that support system that you used to have.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe that's why we need so much more advice, because we don't, you know, we don't really
have
that. You don't have your auntie round the corner or your cousin up the road or this one, you know, to babysit. But so that's why it's great that we live close together.
Honestly, I think that's such an important message because there's a lot of parents who do struggle with grandparents or in-laws or other family members who say, you know, who disagree, I guess, with the way that maybe we wean babies or the foods that we offer or the way it's done or, you know, there's a lot of kind of disagreement with that.
Absolutely. And things that I learned that I didn't know about, like, I didn't know you couldn't give them water. Like, if you hadn't said that to me, I might have given her, you know, because we don't know that. Because nobody told us that that's a bad thing to
do. And honey as well. Dad was going to give her
Dad
honey.
Dad was going to give her honey. So I thought, that'll be nice. I'll give her a wee bit of a banana and dip it in a wee bit of honey. That'll be good. But what I think has definitely changed is the fact that you make everything from scratch. I mean, you are amazing.
I try to,
No, but you do. And it's
You're
that.
Incredible.
And, I mean, look at her. She's thriving. Absolutely thriving. So I've definitely learned more from Rosie than she would ever learn from me.
As and you're far as, willing to take that advice and learn from it, which is great.
It's, you know, Billy's Rosie's baby at the end of the day and it's what she wants. And I don't really understand, you know, grandparents that would kind of do that. Oh, that's not what we did in our day. Well, no, because that was fine for your day.
But
this is not your day and it's not your baby either. Of course, you love the baby more than anything, but, you know, it's true. But I love how you do everything from scratch. It's wonderful.
And Rosie, for you, the advice, there's a lot of parenting advice. You've touched on that. There is a lot. Do you find that sometimes overwhelming?
Oh, yeah. Do you? So overwhelming. I remember the first few days when we brought her home, it was just constant. I had to turn off social media because it's just...
Oh,
and it's this whole thing of, you know, your baby can be a fabulous, you know, sleeper and eater. Just subscribe and pay me money.
Oh, my gosh, yes. It'll cost you $5,000.
Playing the violin and you're speaking Japanese.
And that, like, that got me. So I think I had to just sort of sit down and think, who do I listen to? And it's mums. So I would listen to my mum and I would listen to my midwife, who I WhatsApped all the time. Probably shouldn't have.
Speed dial.
And she's a mum, and the NCT class, we all had a mum group. So that was, but it's, I mean, people get their information wherever they feel comfortable. I think that's the key. You have to find voices that you trust.
And
for me, it was mums.
I love that.
Other friends and friends that have had babies.
People that have had babies. I'm very lucky that two of my best friends have got, she's got a 2-year-old and my other friend's got a nearly 5-year-old, which is mental because I remember them
being born and when they were pregnant.
Time goes by so fast.
Yeah.
She's going to be years
so fast. Yeah.
How and my friend actually, who has baby boy Kit, who's nearly five, she's the one that said, because I said, I don't know about weaning. What do I do?
Yeah.
What happens? She said, there's a book. How to wean your baby.
Oh,
and I was like,
well,
that sounds like a title that I need. Yes. So it's all from mums again.
Yeah, exactly. And do you know the NCT thing? Like that's, for me, that was a game changer.
Yeah.
Because it was people going through the same thing at the same time. And it, even if you could like listen to advice from someone who's done it a year ago, I personally feel like it's the imminent, like what's happening right now that you need to know. And I completely agree with you. I think, you know, and with my daughter Ada, she really struggled with like reflux and colic. And exactly like you said, I remember seeing online this woman saying, I can really help you. You know, I can fix this for you. Don't listen to the normal advice. And then you'd click on it and it'd be like £500. And
yeah,
you just think,
no, gosh.
No, it's not.
There's a lot of, it's really tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, I love it. And when it came to the weaning process, I mean, obviously you have stormed through and I love watching what you do. How have you found it generally? Have you enjoyed it?
I've actually really enjoyed it.
Oh,
I think the first, I think she was probably ready around 5 months, but she was like holding all the signs, like holding her head up and, you know, looking at what we were eating and stuff like that. And she's obsessed with ice cubes, like ice in water. Not that I've given her an ice cube, but she's just always very curious and watching. But no, I was terrified. I just didn't. And I put it off because I was so scared.
Yeah. She's like, I wanted the food.
It's a great conversation.
You wanted grub. But yeah, I just didn't. It was just like another thing. Like I think with her, it was like, okay, breastfeeding. And then it was just constantly like the next thing to worry about and to get all worked up about.
Mm.
So for me, weaning was just, terrifying.
But you're so organised though. I mean,
well, I like plans.
You're super organised. And that really, really helps.
Mm.
And like, I remember when, if you're away for the day, very unusually, it would be post-it notes. I've got post-it notes all in the fridge that I follow.
Yeah.
Oh my
gosh,
I
know what to do, like on the very rare occasions.
They're your recipes, but I've written them down and written them out and put them on the fridge.
Oh my gosh, that is incredible.
So that, you know, just in case something happens to the book, or, you know, can't find the right page.
But that's also really handy for you because she's, you know, it takes the guesswork out for you.
Yeah.
And it takes that, like, okay, I haven't done this for a while. You can literally give me the exact details. I mean, that must be really handy for both your points of view.
It really is, and it's made a massive difference because, you know, although I said, you know, I've got all the love for Billy without the fear, there is still the worry that you're maybe doing something that's not quite right, and you know all of that, which is hard. But you just make it so easy because you always make more, and then you can freeze it.
You're very good at
freezer drawer. Is like one of my biggest accomplishments in my life. It's like I label everything.
I love it. Oh my gosh, you need to write a manual for people I think one of the reasons people love my book is because it has that step-by-step
guide.
Yeah,
and that's what I needed. And I think I'd had no idea about anything. So the fact that it was like day one, broccoli.
Yeah.
I can cook a broccoli.
And she's loved it. Like from a lot of what you've shared, she's loved it, hasn't she?
How well she loves her food.
And she really loves her grub.
She loves her
does
grub.
She really loves
her grub. She didn't, what was it, courgette? She wasn't that bothered about.
She didn't like courgettes.
Because it was quite bitter.
It is quite bitter.
Yeah, and a bit stringy.
She had it with like beef later on and she liked it. So I think it's just like what you say, just keep offering it. But the aubergine, that was our turning point. It was like she was really good on food and then the aubergine had the whole thing.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
It's just like
and
crazy.
That's a strange texture and a different taste.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, isn't it? Babies, they're all so
babies
different.
Are weird.
And also just because they don't like something once, I think that's what a lot of parents think, like they didn't like that and I'm not going to offer it. But, you know, I try and encourage that carrying on and continuing because we all have off days. You know, sometimes I don't feel like eating any aubergine.
Yeah.
You know, it's exactly the same for babies.
Yeah.
So have you had any challenges? Have you felt like there's any moments that have been a bit more challenging?
I think there's been a few times, I think just trying to maybe get the time scales a little bit.
Okay,
Because I was...
Yeah. You've got to take your time with it as
you
well.
Do have to,
you?
Yeah, you do. Mm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it can take a good 20 minutes, sometimes half an hour. And
oh, yeah, for
you said to me, look, leave her for a wee minute.
Come back. give her some water.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, that's so cute.
You just have to
that.
Be patient. I think that challenge is patience.
Yeah.
Hi.
And not worry if it's a mess, because it doesn't matter. Oh, yeah, she's actually not that messy, I don't think.
No, she's not.
Just sometimes when she gets her hand in the bowl.
Yeah.
She gets her hand in the bowl and then it falls over.
Yeah.
And then her wee dog is very happy with that.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Got a wee sausage dog and she's at the bottom of the
covered in yogurt.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Licking it all off.
Oh yeah. They're best pals.
Oh, it's so best sweet. Pals. I love so that. Cute. Oh, that's like, but in terms of the routine, I think, do you struggle with fitting it all in? So like the naps, the play dates, the tummy time, you know, the feeding, the breastfeeding or bottle feeding, like it's a lot, right?
Breastfeeding for me is been the hardest thing
really
that I've found with the baby.
You're so good. I mean, look how she's
like, even today, like she had breakfast and then we came here, she napped. Normally she'd have a bottle before she napped, but she didn't. So now do I give her the bottle now? I then wait until her lunch? Like, what do I do? And she's 9 months and it's like, I should maybe have this figured out by now. And I don't.
I don't think anyone ever has it really figured
out. No. So it's just like a daily thing.
Same, exactly.
You're 31, I'm still trying to figure it out.
I think if you try and stick to a solid routine, you'll just make yourself mental. So we just go day by day. Like, she seems pretty happy now. She'll have her lunch after this, and then she'll have a bottle, and then she'll have a nap.
What's she having for lunch today?
She's having the avocado pasta from the book.
She loves that. Nice. That's a really good one.
Look at her smile when you said that. She's like, yes, happy. Please. Yeah, I do. I totally agree with you. It sounds like you're quite intuitive to her, because I think some parents go by, like, you know, I've got friends who really go by an app, like it tells them. But actually, it does somewhat takes a little bit of that intuition. Mm. Like, what is she telling me away from it?
Mm. Yeah, a little bit. And I found that also really hard at the beginning. Yeah. Everyone was like, "Oh, no one knows your baby better than you." Yeah. And I'm like, "Well, I don't know the baby. I've got the baby just a week. I don't know." And I've also never done this before, so I don't know what I'm doing. But no, I think that's been a challenge for me, is to just just in my head so much. Yeah. And you look at her and you're like, oh, you're fine.
Yeah, she's doing great. Okay. Exactly.
So we just need to calm down.
But I know what you mean about the technology is wonderful that we didn't have. I mean, obviously when you were born, we didn't have apps and technology and things like that. And it's a great help, but you don't want to be a slave to it. Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing that you don't want to be saying, oh my goodness, the app says by now she should be doing that. And but it's a great way to help you.
I did the sleeping that was nap one when
was
I think
really
she was
good
4 months and I was just dead, so I was like, I need to do something.
That worked,
and we did it?
It
for a week and I was like, okay. And then I got rid of it. And it was the same, like when she was born, you have to track the nappies for the health visitor and all
how
that.
Much you lock into it or let it dictate.
Totally.
It should be a tool. It shouldn't be, the tail shouldn't be wagging the dog.
Well, it's the same with advice. Like, you can take the advice, but ultimately every baby's going to be different. You know, you have to then take that advice, but go, some of that I can use and some of it I'm going to disregard. And I think that's really hard as a first time mum, because it's hard to figure out what bits of the advice you can just go, doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
And which bits you need to take a bit more. Lorraine, you tapped into this and I find this really fascinating, but you mentioned about how when you were weaning it was really different and you shared a few, but what do you think was really different back then, like some specific things like with the food or how you offered it?
I don't think that we knew as much, we thought we did, but I don't think we knew as much about nutrition as we do now, and we didn't have back then as many additives and things, I don't think, as much as we do. And I think we know an awful lot more about that and about what's best for babies and how, you know, things do have to be cooked from scratch. And you do, I mean, we're really lucky where we live. There's an old-fashioned greengrocer's, which I know are you know, few and far between. And it's not a really, really posh, expensive organic one, although it is organic.
There's like a card limit where you have to... It has to be over £5.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you go in there and spend £5.
Oh, God.
I know. It's amazing. So it's all proper, you know, potatoes are a bit misshapen, but it's all good. And she gets the best of food, and I don't know that we did that with you necessarily. I mean, we probably should have been a bit more careful.
I think, like you said, it just, the advice wasn't necessarily there, and also the research wasn't really there. We know now a lot about the first 1,000 days of life and how important early years are. There's so much research.
I was just glad to get to get her to eat something. You know, I mean, yeah. you were a good wee eater. You're like Billy. You were great. You weren't fussy at all. I mean, one of the first things that you did was you soaked on a lemon. I don't know how we managed it. I think I was on a flight and we got some water with a lemon in it, and she just grabbed it and started soaking it. Her wee face went all kind of like scrunched up. But you always like kind of quite good, you know, strong flavours. So that was great. Yeah. That was really good. But for example, your first Christmas. It'll be your second Christmas, because the first Christmas would be too wee, but the second Christmas, she basically had Christmas dinner.
Love it. Yeah,
I mean, amazing. You did. You had that.
I thought that was the champagne incident.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Oh, no.
Billy Boo.
Oh, no.
Oh, Billy Boo. You're okay. You're okay. What did I do? What was that?
I think that when you were wee?
Oh my goodness, yes. At Christmas time, you know what it's like when you turn your back on a baby and you'd grab. It's fine.
That's nice.
You're such a good mother. And you grabbed a hold of the champagne glass, and then the next minute your head was like that. You were only a wee tiny thing. Oh. Billy, we can't let that happen to you.
So, in terms of the dynamic of you two, it sounds like you've been really good with like your communication and like the boundaries. And you know, Lorraine, like I love the fact that you say you were never going to say that's not how we did it in my day.
No, but, I hate that. I really do. I think it's great, because all you're going to do is you're feeling vulnerable anyway, because you're just, you know, this is new and all of that, especially when the baby's teeny tiny. And that's the last thing in the world you want to hear. What you want to hear is you're doing a great job. You're doing an amazing job. I can't believe that you are up and about after having a massive operation, which a C-section is. And you're doing incredibly well. And I just, both me and my husband. It's a bit confusing because Rosie has got a Steve. Yeah. And her dad's called Steve.
Okay.
So Rosie Steve is Southern Steve.
Yeah, got you.
So we didn't want to do old Steve and young Steve. Big Steve and wee Steve. So that's the, but he's just great.
Amazing.
He is a good dad. He's a really, really good dad. I mean, he's, you know, everybody's learning as you go along, but he's great. And her wee face lights up. That just lights up when she sees her daddy. It's lovely. It's just really, really lovely. But honestly, that would be my biggest piece of advice to any grandparents or you know, our older sisters, brothers. Don't say they didn't do that in my day. There's a reason that they don't do it like that now, actually.
It's so true.
It really is. So shushed.
But did you ever communicate, like, those sort of, not boundaries, did you ever have a chat about how you were going to be as a grandparent and a parent dynamic? I guess you don't really, do you?
I think we just kind of got there.
I think we're comfortable enough that I would sort of tell you.
Yes. Yeah. I've always said to him, and I've especially said to Rosie Steve, if I'm annoying you and I'm around too much, you've got to tell me. And honestly, I will not be offended because that's the last thing in the world I want to be is a nuisance. But any time you want to babysit, funnily enough, I will be available.
Yeah, I love that.
I will be for sure. No, we never really sort of, you know, talked about that, but I don't think that's a bad idea to do that, and just to sort of set guidelines and say, look,
it depends,
you know,
what relationship you have.
It really does. Yeah. You know, I mean, I see it so often, and especially when she's just tiny and born, I keep saying to you, is it all right to come?
Yeah.
You know, because the last thing in the world you want is, if you're feeling a bit vulnerable, you know, you've just had this operation or you've just gone through giving birth, you know, whatever way it was. You know, you're not feeling your best. And what you need is, you need somebody that you really trust that can come in and say, sit down in your bottom, hold that baby, I'll tidy up or I'll make you a cup of tea, or I'll, you know,
you just need them to come
and
in,
don't, for goodness sake, the worst thing that you could possibly do is a new mum. Don't tidy up for people.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Because if they're really good friends, they're not going to even notice.
Notice, exactly.
But nobody cares. Yes, but true. I think you do, because when you've just had a baby, you want everything to be perfect. Because I remember thinking,
I think
that
dads as well. Like, I think with my Steve, he was very much like, there's nothing I can do in a way. Like, for dads in that stage, there's a support system. There's nothing, you know, they can't feed the baby.
Yeah, so it's very tricky in that point, isn't it?
He was cleaning the whole house for visitors and ordering food. So there's like a buffet for people to come in. I was like, what are you doing?
I know.
Yeah. It was funny.
Well, you seem quite very organised, but quite relaxed. Like, are you quite laid back? And because I think that probably really helped. You seem it anyway.
I think I sort of have forced myself to be a little bit laid back and more chilled than I thought I would be.
She's laughing at that. She's like, mum,
she's a great baby, but she's a great baby because you're a great mum.
Oh,
honestly, she is. If you were all sort of worried, or you were stressed, and that, and I know that you have been, and I know initially when she was born there was an anxiety, because you've talked about that, but you know, she takes it, babies take it from their environment.
I think as long as I'm chill with her,
You are very much so.
Not with her, I'm not.
Yeah. I love
but
that.
But you really are. You're so good with her. And, you know, and she, I mean, gosh, when Rosie goes out of the room, she's like, this, where's my mum? She's always looking for you.
Yeah,
which
I
is
saw
lovely.
When you just moved off there. She's
so
like,
cute.
Yeah, it's like, where is she? Where's she? Where's my mama? So where's my mama?
And so, Rosie, do you have any tips? I mean, you know, like I say, you honestly, and I'm not just saying this, it sounds like you've done incredibly well at parenting. You've always had a lovely support network.
Oh, yeah, you have to have
But
your
just
people.
Generally, weaning. Parenting, do you have any tips that you'd love to impart? Because like you said, no one really tells you quite how hard it is, but would you have any tips that you'd love to give to parents who are about to maybe go into this whole parenting or even the weaning journey right
yeah.
now?
Yeah, I think patience is key.
Okay, yeah,
definitely.
Everything is temporary.
Yes, everything
that's
a phase. Yes,
one of my midwives said to get that tattooed on your forehead. Everything is temporary. Not really, but yeah,
this will pass.
Yeah, this will pass. I think what me and my Steve maybe should have done, and what I've said to people that are expecting now, is to have a chat about feeding before the baby comes.
Okay.
Because I think dads can't do a lot and they want that bonding.
Yeah.
But I remember we had our first, you and your partner will also hate one another just for a little bit
absolutely.
And then it'll be fine.
Or for 8 years.
But yeah, I remember having a massive row because I needed to get some rest. But I had this whole thing of, you know, feeding and my milk not coming in. My milk wasn't, it was fine.
Yeah.
But he let me sleep for longer than we'd agreed because I wanted to keep feeding her to get the breast milk going. Mm. And he gave her a bottle and I was raging.
Oh, really? Yeah.
He did nothing wrong.
Yeah,
he did
no,
nothing
I get it.
Wrong. But for me, I was like, my milk's not going to come in now.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, I've slept 4 hours, which means that, you know, that 4 hours, there will not be any milk. What am I going to do? And, you know, it's just that was so important to me. And I think if we'd had that chat before and he was aware and had that communication that's what I needed. Mm. I needed, you know, him to just give me the baby rather than let me rest, which was lovely. And obviously he should have done it at the same time. But I think it's just, having that expectation as well of, you know, you need to ask if you can go for a shower.
Because
I remember someone saying that to me and I was like, what?
Yeah.
And I had another friend who I said that to and she was like, oh, but does the baby not nap? Can you not do that when it... And I'm like, yeah, but the first sort of 6 weeks she wouldn't nap unless she was on you.
She just
wouldn't sleep that way. Yeah. So, you know, you just have to be prepared that I think, have chats with your partner, have chats with your family before the baby comes because... you don't know what it's going to be like. And I think even just saying that we don't know what it's going to be like, maybe stop, you know, expecting.
Don't have expectations. Exactly.
Be patient and be kind to yourself as well because, you know, if she doesn't get fed off you for 4 hours with you having a nap, she will take a bottle. She'll be okay. She's with her dad. She'll be fine. But in my head, it was the end
travesty.
Of the world.
Of course. But when you're in that
fine,
moment,
I can never go to sleep ever again.
But when you're in that moment, it is really dramatic and it feels really strong. So completely. But I think that's great advice. And last bit of advice from the both of you. You guys obviously have this incredible dynamic. And honestly, Lorraine, I think the way that you are grandparenting in this situation is so many people could learn a little trick from your book. But do either of you have any tips for maybe people who are slightly struggling with voices or vocals or, you know, other advice from other people? What would your kind of advice be in those situations for both of you?
Do you know, I think it's really important, like what Rosie was saying, you've got to communicate and I think we have to get over this, and it's a very British thing of like not wanting to offend or not wanting to, you've got, I think if you're the mother, this is your baby, the most important thing in the world, the most important thing, the most amazing thing you will ever do. And if you're not happy about something, I mean, I remember when you were little and Auntie Carol came round and she smokes and she lit up a fag. It was one of those ones where I just said, I'm really sorry. And I know she was offended, a little bit offended, but she got it completely.
She absolutely
got it. And she just said, I'm really sorry. And I think sometimes seethe inwardly, let it out. And if people maybe don't like it, that's too bad.
Love that.
That's too bad because your baby is the most important thing.
That is such good
and
advice.
Talk to each other.
So good. Yeah, communicate.
Another thing as well, just very quickly. I found writing stuff out like in an email rather than saying it. Mm-hmm. Like gather your thoughts and write things out and then. Yes. write Mama. Them, message yeah. them. You know, you don't have to vocalize it if you can't, if it's too uncomfortable. Because I hate confrontation. Yeah, so that's why I think people...
We all hate confrontation, especially with people that we love.
Yeah.
But
like you say, this is the most important thing in your world. Yes. You've
got to say it right away, because sometimes if you, like, you're really right about writing it down. Yeah. But if you don't say it right away, you'll end up getting...
Absolutely. Yes. It'll build up
and then you'll explode.
And then you end up resentful. So... Oh, honestly, guys, it's been so wonderful. Honestly, I'm so, so grateful. I've got a quick fire round, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes.
Which I am the worst person, but I'm terrible at quick fire. So let's just see how we go. So, Rosie, what's something you've done where you've realised you've, like, I'm a mum now?
Oh. Ooh.
It's very specific.
Ooh.
And you felt like a mother?
You felt like, oh, my God, I'm a mum.
Probably my Tupperware... And my labelling of the baby food. And like just the freezer being so beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that. I love it.
Okay, amazing. So
I'm like, okay, I'm labelling things now.
I'm a mum. I've got a label maker.
And I've got like a little, her little lunchbox as well. I bought specifically for her to keep her food in.
So cute.
I was like, okay.
Oh. And Lorraine, what's your favourite thing about being a grandparent?
Do you know the best thing that's happened to me in the past couple of weeks? If somebody said, what was your highlight of the week? When I had just come out of hospital, me and Billy get put down for a nap at the same time.
Yeah.
Both of us went for a nap and I fell asleep to this wee thing. And when I woke up, she had a wee hand on my cheek.
Oh, my God.
And
it was
the bestest thing.
So sweet.
In the world. Yeah.
So
it's
sweet.
It's just being with her, to be honest with you.
And it really feels like she's, like, given you almost, you know, a whole new perspective and enjoyment.
No, she is absolutely wonderful. She really is. I love getting me clothes for her. I love because she's got nothing, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. She needs.
She's just like, she has to have everything else. But she's such a good kid.
So cute.
She wakes up laughing.
Yeah.
She does.
And making
babbling.
Me funny noises. And every stage has been great, and I can't wait for her to
I love it,
you know, to really start talking. And the other thing that we do that I would say to everybody as well as a tip, read to your babies,
even
if they're teeny tiny and weeks old, just read to them.
Get that. I love that. I always read. My daughter, though, she used to pick up the books and she'd just throw it on the floor. Like Rafi, he loved it. He'd sit there and you could do book after book. Ada, you'd start reading to her and she'd just grab it and throw it. And so until she was about one, she just wouldn't accept it. But I mean, I love reading to them. Both.
Lily's in her throwing stage at the moment, especially with
food. Oh, is she?
And her like water beaker, she'll just throw it.
Yeah, love it. Yeah. But it's just learning gravity. Yeah. You know, all they're doing is learning, what happens if I throw this? So what's your absolute, a couple of like must-haves as either mum or grandparent, any must-haves, basically? Baby gear.
Oh, baby gear.
Baby wipes.
Baby wipes are a big one.
Baby wipes.
Muslins.
Yeah. Muslins.
You can never get enough.
We had.
Hello.
I'm trying to think what we had when she was really little. Oh. It's this like contraption. It's not even a contraption. It was a sleeping bag, but it's like a pod.
Yes. Okay.
And it's got straps. You can carry them around. So
love
I could
it.
Put her down and I could have a shower.
And carry her somewhere.
And she could be there. And then it expands and becomes a playmat. The company's Najil.
Yeah.
I don't know how you say it, but that's been my favourite. We've caught baby in a bag.
Remember, we
used to have our dinner
and
we would just be like, oh, where's Billy? Baby in a bag. We'll
put her in a wee bag.
Love it.
And we'd carry her around. We can't really do it that much now because she's like 11 kilos.
Yeah.
We used to do it when she was little and it was lovely. But the amount of stuff that you are told you need, you don't need.
No, I know.
And then you feel guilty because I bought all these toys for her and like the baby bouncer and everything. She didn't use it until like 3 months.
Yeah.
My mum was saying that. My mum went into the nursery like where Billy is and she went, for goodness sake, all we needed was a blanket. You can change it on your knee. You don't need all this paraphernalia.
Oh, it's so funny. And when they're older, so I've had a conversation with friends recently, the toddler stage, all they need is a box, a cardboard box.
Uh-huh.
They love it. You can buy them all these toys and wrapping paper.
Wrapping up paper, she loves wrapping up paper.
Honestly, that and a cardboard box, they will be content for
cardboard
hours,
box
won't
is
they?
Great.
But even wet
like
wipes,
it.
She likes. That's her favourite
love
toy.
Love it, yes, scrunching, putting it in the mouth. Yeah, exactly
loves
that.
Eating things.
Oh, I love
loves
it.
Eating things.
So last but not least, any funny mealtime rituals that you've noticed with her already? Is there anything like she does or like, does she get really excited when you come to the table or anything that she sort of wants you to do? Like, do you have to make
any funny faces, or is there any mealtime rituals? Because obviously we love talking about weaning.
Yeah, her dad likes to do, you know, the airplane thing.
Oh, yes.
When she's eating. She doesn't really do that with me. She laughs a lot more with him.
No, of course.
Which I'm trying to take to heart, which is fine. But yeah, at the moment we have a little dance before
love
meals.
It.
So like, at the moment we've just moved house, so we have no furniture, so she's on the countertop with me obviously right there in her little chair, and we put the radio on and have a little dance. We did the Macarena this morning.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
But it's to get her happy, and then so that she's not sat down in a grumpy mood.
I love that.
There's been a few times where she's been crying.
That's the thing, because also those mealtime associations, because I always say that, like, if you can take a step back and calm everything down pre-meal, and then the environment that they feel in the mealtime is much better, whereas if you put them down in a grumpy mood and then they're like, oh, now I'm stuck, it can be really tricky. So I love that. It's great advice.
So yeah, we do a lot of jumping and dancing.
Perfect.
And then calm, and then
in.
Yeah. That's actually one
the Macarena
the Macarena, yeah.
Oh, honestly, I'm so grateful. You guys have been brilliant. I genuinely think people will benefit from this advice, and it's been wonderful. So thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for your book, for the Bible.
Oh, bless you. I'm so pleased. Thank you. A huge thank you to Lorraine, Kelly and Rosie for being such brilliant guests on today's episode. It was so refreshing to hear their really honest take on navigating weaning, and especially when it comes to balancing that family input and support from grandparents at the same time. Coming up later this week, I'll be talking about consistency in feeding, and particularly when your little one is being cared for by other people, whether that might be grandparents or childminders or even a nursery setting. It's a really useful episode, packed with tips to help you feel so much more confident about keeping things on track, no matter who is in charge of those mealtimes. This podcast is brought to you with support from Little Dish, so a big, big thank you to them for hosting us in their headquarters. If you enjoyed today's episode, please do subscribe, share it with a friend, or leave a quick review. It really does make a huge difference. See you again later this week. This episode of How to Feed wouldn't have been possible without my sponsors, Little Dish. Their meals are fresh, delicious, and made with ingredients that you would find in your own kitchen, making them a brilliant option for busy days.